Hey, everybody, just a quick word before we start this week's episode. Crackle Fest number 3 is coming to Seattle March 1st at the Hard Rock Cafe there in downtown. It's going to be a good one, and it's going to be hosted by yours truly, me, again. I had a great time last year. It was so much fun. Had a lot of fun getting up there on stage and telling you guys some jokes. Great lineup this year. Pollen Storm, the Double Clicks, Nerds with Guitars, and of course, Kirby Crackle. So get your tickets quick. They're going to go fast at TicketWeb or KirbyCrackle.com. Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
Oh, hey.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast.
Welcome to Earth.
This is episode 134.
Hail to the king, baby.
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
I'm not joking around here.
I am your host, Aaron Roden.
I'd like to have a little informal chat with you, okay?
And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, sirs and ma'ams. It's going to be a great show this week. Double platinum Goodwill patron by the name of Ben Haggerty, also known as Macklemore, is going to be joining us here in a moment. We've got some voicemails to play for you. Had a great experience going on the Grapes of Rad recently. Talk about that for a little bit. And also just what's been occupying my time here in the Roden household. A lot of interesting stuff. A lot of interesting stuff, right? Yes. So, last week, Operation Healthy Aaron, or Operation Get Aaron, Make Aaron Healthy. Is that the right one? Fuck. Can I just get it? Can I just spit it out right now? Jeez, man. Not going so well. Not going all that great. I have been staying stagnant. Here, I'm just going to tell you guys my weight, because hopefully that will make me feel enough shame to where I will, you know, get something done about it. Here's the biggest problem I have with my weight right now, is that I have to go and do this this hosting thing. Well, I shouldn't say I have to. I get to. Kirby Crackle was nice enough to invite me once again to host Crackle Fest, as you heard at the pre-roll to this show. So I can't fit into my suit right now. I can't even fit into my fitted shirt that was made for me when I was about 15 pounds lighter. I am now at a whopping 201 pounds, and some might say, well, that's not that heavy. Well, it's not, but when you have a bunch of clothes that used to fit you, and you don't, and you're too lazy to go out, and too cheap to go out and buy more clothes, then you got to lose the weight, right? And plus, I just eat like a maniac lately. I don't know what's going on in my life. I have no idea. I'm not depressed, so I know it's not that. Maybe I'm secretly depressed. Maybe I've got some some repressed memories or something that keep on coming up. Maybe I'm eating in my sleep. Maybe I should videotape myself. Maybe I should move on. Right? Yeah. I would urge all of you guys to go and check out the latest episode of The Grapes of Rad. I had a great time going and chatting with Nick Ahlers and Aaron Mason. Both great dudes, and you can find that at grapesofrad.com. It was very enjoyable. They asked me a lot of questions about what it's like doing this show, what it's like lining up everything for this show, and I just had a great time talking about myself. Oh, don't I always though? Don't I always? Yes. But yeah, go check that out. It's at grapesofrad.com, and show them some love. Show us some love. please go to iTunes and rate and review the show, or just rate it, whatever. Take you about 5 seconds, and it really does a lot for us in the long run, because, like I've said before many times, the iTunes algorithm, very strange thing, and it's run on subscriptions, downloads, rates, and reviews, and so we need some more of those. So go to iTunes, rate and review. Okay. What's been going on? What's been going on here that I needed to talk about with you, the listener? Well, I've been watching a lot. We're trying to teach my child how to use the potty. Terrible. It's just terrible. It's not fun. The kiddo doesn't want to sit on the thing. So we went out today. We got this new potty chair, everything. We've got this DVD, too. It's like Elmo's Potty Time. It's a Sesame Street thing. And I have watched this thing so many times now. I've got some of the songs memorized, a lot of the parts memorized. But I don't know what it is, but, man, little kids and puppets start talking about poo-poo and doo-doo and wee-wee. I can't take my eyes away. Can't peel my eyes off of that screen, and it drives me nuts. I don't know why. I don't know why I can't not just tune it out and do something else, but I've got to watch it. I've just got to. So, yeah, it's weird. And I feel like when I'm watching this thing too, I feel like if I was one of the, like, you know, real actors in Sesame Street and I was, you know, contracted to do this this poop and pee video with Elmo. I don't know, man. I don't know how those people do it. I would just feel so weird talking about that stuff. You know, that a bunch of kids are going to see. They're singing along. They're singing about doo-doo. It's hilarious. How do they keep a straight face, right? Yeah. Anyway, that's it. That's all I wanted to talk about. We've got a couple voicemails that I wanted to play you guys. One of which is from our web guru, Sam Sahonis, who left us this. I don't know if I've listened to this yet, so there's probably some swears in it. I think I've already sworn on this show, so I don't know if that matters. But I want to play this for you guys, because this is, yeah, I have listened to this. This is a reason why you need to donate to the show, because some of the money goes to Sam. Or will eventually go to Sam if anybody would be so kind as to donate. So let's listen to this. Let me try getting this thing going here. And here we go.
Hey, how's it going, man? I've met you. Okay, it's Wee Willy Winky, a.k.a. otherwise known as the Web Guy. That's right. So, yeah, I'm still not done with the seed burner shit. I'm sorry. I have a fucking life, man, okay? I'm trying. I'm sorry. I thought we were friends. But a big shitty one. It's coming soon. This week, I'm going to squeeze it out the best I can. All right. I just thought I'd drop you a little line.
One of the many reasons that you guys should go and donate to the show, because we need to pay this guy. We need to get this guy some money here. We need to help him out, right? Man. Oh, Sam. One in a million. One in a million. We also got a voicemail from our friend Brian Dennis down in Tacoma. Wonderful listener. And let's see what he had to say, shall we? I guess I didn't have anything pulled up. There it is.
I'm calling you at about 8:15. We are 4 hours away from being sucked up into the Mayan afterlife for whatever's going to happen here at midnight.
Whoa, this is an old one. This is a really old one. I'm sorry. Sorry, listener Brian. I didn't realize this is so old. I need to check this thing more often, don't I? Okay, back. Yeah, let's get back to it.
I just want to say thank you for all the shows that you put out, all the free stuff. I love it. I still have my poster that you signed with the lyrics to Call Me Maybe. Every time I look at it, I can see you just mouthing the lyrics whilst writing them down on the poster. I'm getting a little cracked up here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to smoke a shit ton of weed, sit on top of my van, and wait for our Mayan overlords to come suck us up into the afterlife or whatever the Mayans believe. Again, thank you for all the bombs of awesome that you put into my ear. They exploded, and it was hilarious.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's really awesome, you guys. Hey, and you guys, you listening right now, you guys, that's right, you guys. You can call and leave us a voicemail as well on our voicemail line. I know I don't say anything about this enough, but the number is 609-232-BOOM. That's 609-232-BOOM, and you can leave us a voicemail that sends us a little MP3, and we'll play it on the show when I get around to it, apparently. Oh, okay. Okay. That's it, right? That's it. Let's get to this conversation we had with Macklemore a couple months ago. I think it was a couple months ago. Yeah. I think it might have been around summertime. We've played it before, but we just wanted to play it again because this guy has gone double platinum, and it's amazing because he still doesn't have him and Ryan Lewis still do not have a record contract. They're doing this all by themselves. And they're making some amazing music. A lot of people here in Seattle are very, very proud of them, and as they should be, because these dudes are really doing it. And I think they're the first, maybe the second in Seattle to go platinum. They may be the first to go double platinum. I don't know. I don't know what happened with Baby Got Back and Sir Mix-a-Lot. I don't know. I should have looked that up, maybe, huh? Yeah, that might have been a good thing. Okay. Let's do this, shall we? First song we're going to go with here, Victory Lap by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. And when we get back, we'll be talking with that dude, Ben Haggerty, also known as Macklemore. It's going to be great. All right. This is Victory Lap, and stay tuned for more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. All right, stay with us. Get the road with RL, performing in front of eight. Simple check your ego. I bet around that time I'm watching our EP go from nothing to getting us booked around the country. I know no limits, life can change in an instant. Eight people turning to sold out shows in a minute. Now watching my pops in the back row grinning with his glass up to my mom toasting his Guinness. And we on, good music it lost in the ambiance. One day we'll leave here, but these words live on. Until then, we keep on making these songs. So what up, so freshman edition. Last year, thinking to myself, like, yeah, nah, I won't win it. Yeah, I probably won't get it, but I'm gonna give it everything. Play my position. All right, joining me now on the line is Ben Haggerty, better known as Macklemore here in Seattle. How's it going, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. Are you enjoying the sunshine today?
You know what? I'm inside with my girlfriend. I need to get outside and enjoy the sunshine.
And now you're talking to me on the phone.
It's all in a day's work.
That's right. Well, hey, man, thank you so much for calling into the Air Raid podcast. I really appreciate you coming on the show. I know that you're an extremely busy man these days, especially with this this new single that you guys just put out, you and Ryan Lewis, Same Love. And you've been getting getting a lot of what do you call it? A lot of play on that one.
Definitely.
Yeah. So how are things going, man? With this song and the new record coming out, you guys are definitely staying busy, right?
Yeah, it's an exciting time for sure. You know, there's the last 6 months have been pretty much solely devoted to just being in the studio. So it's it's nice to finally put out one of our songs in the album and get the response that it got, and to see people excited. Not only for our album and for the tour, but just what Same Love stands for. And that's been a really cool reaction.
Yeah, that's I think it's great. It's a wonderful song. It brought tears to my eyes a little bit when I first heard it. And wow. And you know, well, let's start there. Where did you come up with the concept for this song?
Well, I knew that I wanted to write a song revolving around gay rights and homophobia, and it really came from my mom sent me a link to a newspaper where I covered a kid that was shot himself, committed suicide over kids bullying him. And, you know, it just really hit me. And, you know, having a background of being a Catholic and also obviously a member of the hip hop community for the last 15 years of my life, you know, both of those communities are known as, you know, and have homophobia in the communities.
Right.
So I started writing it from the perspective of like a gay bullied kid and realized it really wasn't my story to tell after talking to Ryan about it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I spent about a week and took a week break, came back to it kind of with a fresh perspective. And, you know, the song really just wrote itself. It talked about me growing up as a kid and my own kind of like, premonition of thinking I was gay because I was good at art and I like cared what my hair looked like and my uncles were gay, and kind of evolving into just talking about, you know, gay rights and the human rights issue that it is in 2012.
Yeah,
and it's a very important time in history, I believe. You know, not only with Referendum 74 up on the ballot this November to pass same-sex marriage in Washington, but just in terms of kind of a cosmic shift and an awareness and an acceptance of all people.
Yeah.
Particularly, you know, those that have been discriminated against because of their sexual orientation, so...
Right, right.
You know, it seemed like I wanted to write the song. It was just a matter of how to address it, and I just did it in the most personal way possible.
Yeah, I think it's great, man, and you should be very, very proud of the product.
When I was in the third grade, I thought that I was gay because I could draw. My uncle was, and I kept my room straight. I told my mom, tears rushing down my face. She's like, Ben, you've loved girls since before pre-K. Tripping. Yeah, I guess she had a point, didn't she? Bunch of stereotypes all in my head. I remember doing the math, like, yeah, I'm good at Little League. A preconceived idea of what it all meant. For those that like the same sex, have the characteristics. The right-wing conservatives think it's a decision. And you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition, playing God. Oh nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. God loves all his children. It's somehow forgotten, but we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago.
Bye-bye,
I don't know.
Bye-bye. And I can't change. Bye-bye. Even if I tried, even if I wanted to.
Gay, I would think hip-hop hates me. Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay, gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying. A culture founded from oppression. Yeah, we don't have acceptance for them. Call each other faggots behind the keys of a key message board. A word rooted in hate, yet our genre still ignores it. Gay is synonymous with the lesser. It's the same hate that's caused wars from religion. Gender to skin color, the complexion of your pigment. The same fight that led people to walkouts and sit-ins. It's human rights for everybody. There is no difference. Live on and be yourself. When I was at church, they taught me something else. If you preach hate at the service, those words aren't anointed. That holy water that you soak in has been poisoned. When everyone else is more comfortable remaining voiceless rather than fighting for humans that have had their rights stolen. I might not be the same, but that's not important. No freedom till we're equal. Damn right I support it.
My love, she keeps me warm. She keeps me warm.
don't press pause. Progress march on, with the veil over our eyes, we turn our back on the cause. Till the day that my uncles can be united by law. When kids aren't walking around the hallway, plagued by pain in their heart. A world so hateful, some would rather die than be who they are. And a certificate on paper isn't gonna solve it all, but it's a damn good place to start. No law is gonna change us, we have to change us. Whatever God you believe in, we come from the same one. Strip away the fear, underneath it's all the same love. About time that we raised up.
I can't sex.
Have you heard any backlash on this? I mean, has there been any bad press from like, I don't know, fans that you have around the world?
You know, for every, you know, couple thousand people that respond, you know, you're going to get a person in there that, you know, hides behind an internet alias name and uses the F word and, you know, makes some derogatory comments. But,
right.
You know, for the most part, it's all been really positive. There was, you know, one hip hop blog in particular that I saw a lot of, you know, a lot of that type of language. But, you know, it's for a lot of people, it's something that's new. And what the song has really opened my eyes to is not judging those people that have those type of feelings against gay people, because it just comes from something else. You know, people aren't born hating gay people. They're not born hating anyone. Yeah. And it comes, it's a learned behavior. It's a learned way of judging people. And,
right. So kind of like hate the player, or hate the game, not the player.
Something like that. Yeah. I mean, it's something that hopefully this song can create dialogue and can, you know, for people that it wasn't really an issue, but they maybe not didn't know how they stood. Hopefully they can examine it a little bit more
for
the people that are already, you know, believe in equal rights for all humans. It can hopefully be a song that really speaks to them and something to rally behind them. For those that feel completely opposite, you know, it's just one other perspective from the other side, and hopefully it results in them being a little bit more open-minded.
Yeah, I like it, man. I like it. I like where you're going. So let's talk a little bit about, 'cause this is one thing that's always interested me personally, is that you've gotten to where you are now by yourself, pretty much.
Yeah.
Or, you know, with the help of the hip hop community here in Seattle and some of the press that has really glommed onto your style. Do you have to kind of pinch yourself every morning when you wake up? Because your success, especially here in Seattle, I don't know what it's like for you in the rest of the country, but your success here alone is just unprecedented.
Yeah, it's been a lot of hard work. It hasn't felt like it's overnight by any means. So, I think that the longer that, you know, you go on and you work for something, the less it's like, it feels like this like crazy immediate, polarizing success story. But at the same time, I'm extremely grateful. And, you know, in the midst of working 16-hour days with Ryan Lewis the past 6 months and, you know, just sacrificing pretty much everything for the art, there are moments where you kind of sit back and you're like, wow, this is really incredible what's happening. And you just want to be excited. You want to keep that excitement. You want to keep that sense of gratitude.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that leads into something that I wanted to ask you, too, is how do you, because you always seem like you have a pretty good head on your shoulders. You don't let your ego get the best of you. You know, I've seen many interviews with you and read many interviews that have included you in them. And, you know, you always seem like you got a good head on your shoulders. Have you found it hard to kind of keep that level-headedness?
You know what? I really haven't. You know, I think it was harder for me when I was younger, even though I didn't reach even close to the level of success that I have now.
Yeah.
It was harder when I first started experiencing people acknowledging my art and my music and coming to shows.
Uh-huh.
Again, we're talking about hundreds of people versus, thousands.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. It's all relative. And I think that what it did, kind of stretching out, like getting to where I'm at now over the last like seven years, is that, you grow accustomed to it and you realize that this art is not me. It comes from something greater than myself. And the minute that I start taking credit for it and thinking that I'm some, you know, amazing person is when I realize I'm not fulfilled, I'm not happy, and I'm not grateful for anything that comes. So,
right.
You know, I don't take it, I just don't take it to the head, and I surround myself with people that remind me, you know, how lucky I am and how, and to be grateful. And even just the community, I think that what I'm probably the most proud of is what I've done for Seattle in terms of national exposure on a hip hop level.
Right.
And
right.
I view that as a success for Seattle. Just as much, if not more, as a success for myself.
Right on. Right on, man. Do you travel with an entourage?
Yeah, a small entourage. You know, my girlfriend is the tour manager. Ryan
Excellent.
Lewis, obviously, you know, is my producer and DJ.
Yeah.
Or Runga on the trumpet. And then my manager, Zach Quillen, accompanies us.
Yeah, yeah. Now, where is he located? I've been emailing back and forth with Zach for quite a while now.
Zach is in North Seattle.
He is. Okay.
Yeah, he lived in New York for the last 10 years, and he moved out here to be close to the project.
Gotcha. And now, are you his only client then?
Yeah, he's a booking agent. So
right.
He's the booking agent for Wiz Khalifa and Mac Miller and Yellow Wolf. And okay. And Big Thread and a lot of different people.
Wow. So you must have, I guess that you must have like a lot of labels that are constantly knocking at your door, right?
Yeah, a lot of labels.
Now, how enticing is that? Are those offers and how hard is it to turn some of these down? Because you're still doing this all by yourself, right?
Yeah. You know what? It wasn't that difficult. You know, we got a lot of meals with label people and
mm-hmm.
went to a lot of offices and kind of realized that for where we're at, it just doesn't make sense. And I'm not completely opposed to it in the future, but as of right now, it doesn't make sense, you know.
What do you mean by that?
We met some good people and we had some good steak dinners and, you know, learned some things. So it's definitely not time wasted.
Right. So, I mean, what do you mean by where you're at now? Because it seems like you'd be in a pretty good position to make a good deal right now.
Yeah, you know, I think that major labels, what they still have is radio power.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And you know, we have a couple songs that might work on radio, but I'm not trying to tailor my music to work for radio. This is not what I'm interested in.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I think that if I was really trying to do that, and who knows, maybe there's a day that that's, you know, a new venture for me, and I'm excited by the prospect of making radio songs.
Yeah.
But as of right now, you know, it's just not the type of music that I make. So there's no reason to sign to a major label. Obviously, like, you know, having, you know, $1 million or something from a major label or more than that would be cool to, like, spend a bunch of money on my art. But that just has to get paid back at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in a position, luckily, that, like, we've saved a bit of money and we have enough to, you know, put out our record ourselves and not do it to the extent that probably a major label could put it out. We're going to miss it on some opportunities because of it. But at the same time, like, you know, our touring is very strong. Our merchandise is very strong. And the fans really support our music. So I don't want to lose that kind of fan-to-fan interaction that we have, or artist-to-fan interaction that we have.
Right,
I think that you lose a little bit of that with a major label.
Well, and definitely just like, and you know, you sound like a guy who doesn't base a lot of things on like street cred, so to speak. But it sounds like, you know, I mean, you might lose some street cred, quote unquote.
If you
go with the label, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't use the word street cred. I know what you mean.
Right.
I would use probably the word, you know, just integrity with your fan base.
Yeah, yeah.
If we've gotten this far without it, and if I've talked about it on records before, if we were to sign right now, I think there would be people that would be disappointed. I'm not worried about disappointing people. I just want to make the best art and get it to the masses the way that I want to do it. You know,
without having other people's fingers in it.
Yeah, without having a middleman.
Yeah. I get that. I just always dream of just being a millionaire. So that's where my mind always goes.
Well, I do too. And, you know, I don't think that signing a major label contract is necessary. It might be the quickest way to that, but I don't think that the longevity is there.
Yeah. So how do you guys do with sales?
In terms of CD sales?
Yeah, CDs or, you know, just iTunes and things like that. You guys do pretty well?
Yeah, iTunes is great. You know, we do really well on iTunes. Same level right now is, I believe, you know, in the top 25 on the singles hip-hop charts.
Yeah, I
iTunes,
saw that, man.
Which is the closest that we've got to number one.
Yeah.
And we'll see. I mean, we'll see how the record does, but... I know that we have fans that support and are down to buy the art that we put out.
Yeah. And it's a weird thing too, man. Cause like, you know, we've been in the iTunes, top 200 charts, for podcasts many times. And one time we made it up to into the 60s, right? Out of the top 200 in the nation. And it was just,
wow.
It was just like, you know, it's such a cool thing, but it's so, you don't know where it comes from, right? Because like the whole iTunes thing is like, well, how do they calculate this and all that stuff? I don't know, but it's definitely becoming more and more of a real thing, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, Ben Haggerty, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you taking the time out to talk with me for a little bit. And if ever you and Ryan would like to come on the show. You know, door's always open, man.
Definitely. I appreciate it. Are you guys based in Seattle?
Yeah, we're up, we're in Greenwood. We record out of my dining room.
Awesome. Well, you should come to the show on October 12th.
And
at the WAMU Theater.
That's WAMU, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what kind of your CD release?
Yeah, it's a CD release for sure.
Excellent. So, and then world tour starting after that, or is that before this?
That's kind of the beginning of the world tour.
Oh, okay. Wonderful, man. And excited to go?
Absolutely.
Going to some places that you haven't been before?
Yeah, definitely. We're going all over Europe. And, well, I guess Europe's before October 12th.
But, oh, okay.
You know, we're going to Australia and New Zealand after the U.S. portion and playing a bunch of new places in the U.S., so... Completely excited.
Oh, wonderful, man. Wonderful. Well, I wish you guys the best of luck and you know, keep doing what you're doing.
Definitely. Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot, Ben.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right, there you have it, folks. Pretty great, great conversation, right? Great conversation. Now, when we recorded that back in the summer, Ben had yet to go double platinum. I believe they went double platinum with Thrift Shop, right? Or maybe they went double platinum with the whole album, The Heist, which is out now. You can get that at any record store and online at their website and on iTunes, which we will put links for at our website, www.air-raid.net. Also at our website, you guys can just go to the archives tab at the top of the page and look and check out all of the shows that we've had. Up to this date, 134 shows with the likes of Bob Saget, John Roderick, Damian Jurado, Pickwick, Grand Archives, The Dismemberment Plan, comedians like Pete Holmes, Moshe Kasher, Dana Gould, Eddie Pepitone, Duncan Trussell. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, folks. So go there. Check out all of our past episodes. We'd really, really appreciate you guys doing that. Also, you can follow me on Twitter, at AirRaidNet. I'd encourage you to do that as well. Yeah, boy, I'm just full of plugs at the end of this episode, aren't I? Yeah, dudes. One thing, I was listening back to this, and made me kind of laugh because I kind of tried to compare myself to Macklemore. Or it sounded like I did, anyway. you know, talking with him about, you know, what it feels like to be on the top charts in iTunes and stuff. And I was just, you know, I was just trying to create a connection, guys. So don't jump all over me on that one. We got a few scathing emails when we first played this episode a while back about that. So, preemptive strike, if you will. All right. Well, thanks for listening this week. Sorry it's a shorter episode this week, but we'll be back on next Monday with a special guest, Kurt Braunholer. Yeah, it's going to be a doozy. All right. Looking forward to talking with you guys then. We're going to go out today with the song Let's Just Go with Thrift Shop. Why don't we? By Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. Yeah, it's a good song, right? Yeah, double platinum, man. Just on David Letterman. Wow. Those guys are just exploding right now. Must just be a total trip. Anyway, okay, this is Thrift Shop. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you next week with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Have a good one. Some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a comer. This is fucking awesome. Now, walk into the club like, what up? I got a big pack. I'm just pumped. I bought some shit from a thrift shop. Ice on the fringe is so damn frosty. The people like, damn, that's a cold ass honky. Rolling in hella deep, headed to the mezzanine. Dressed in all pink, set my gator shoes. Those are green draped in a leopard mink. Girl standing next to me, probably should have washed this. Smells like R. Kelly sheets. But shit, it was 99 cents. I get copping it, washing it. About to go and get some compliments. Passing up on those moccasins. Someone else has been walking in. Bummy and grungy fucking men. I am stunting and flossing and saving my money. And I'm hella happy that's a bargain, bitch. I'ma take your grandpa style. I'ma take your grandpa style. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I have his hand me down? Velour jumpsuit and some house slippers. Dookie brown leather jacket that I found. Dig it. They had a broken keyboard. I bought a broken keyboard. I bought a ski blanket. Then I bought a kneeboard. Hello, hello, my ace man, my mellow. John Wayne ain't got nothing on my fringe game, hell no. I could take some pro wings, make them cool, sell those. The sneakerheads would be like, ah, he got the Velcro. I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is fucking awesome. Ow. I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is fucking awesome. What she know about rocking a wolf on your noggin? What she knowin' about wearing a fur fox skin? Whoa. I'm digging, I'm searching right through that luggage. One man's trash, that's another man's come up. Whoa. Thank your granddad for donating that plaid button up shirt. Cause right now I'm up in her skirt. I'm at the Goodwill, you can find me in the I'm not stuck on searching in the section. Your grandma, your aunt, your mama, your mammy. I'll take those flannel zebra jammies secondhand and rock that motherfucker. The built-in onesie with the socks on that motherfucker. I hit the party and they stop in that motherfucker. They be like, oh, that Gucci, that's hella tight. I'm like, yo, that's $50 for a t-shirt. Limited edition, let's do some simple edition. $50 for a t-shirt, that's just some ignorant bitch. I call that getting swindled and pimped. I call that getting tricked by a business. That shirt's hella dope. And having the same one as six other people in this club is a hella don't. Peep gang, come take a look through my telescope. Tryna get girls from a brand, man, you hella won't. Man, you hella won't. Goodwill. Poppin' tags. Yeah. I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is fucking awesome. I'll wear your granddad's clothes. I look incredible. I'm in this big ass coat from that thrift shop down the road. I'll wear your granddad's clothes. I look incredible. Come on, man. I'm in this big ass coat from that thrift shop down the road. I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is fucking awesome.
Is that your grandma's coat?